even as we pray for those in distress, fires, storms, sickness. It is our hope that this time in God's Word will uplift you, bring you blessing, as we believe God intends through His Word to bless you. We have an affirmation of faith that we share each time we gather at Daleville Christian Church. This one from Philippians in the second chapter, often referred to as the hymn of Christ. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The reading of God's Word for today is just two verses from 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Today's message is a follow-up to last week's message when we learned that we should all be sure to eat breakfast and that we should daily have more than breakfast because Jesus told Satan to his face, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." God's Word, the Bible, is practical even for those of us living in the 21st century. But speaking of food, and I love to talk about food, I have already preached on the topic, what would Jesus eat? Years ago, we might ask the question, what would Jesus do? You can also ask, what would Jesus eat? The short answer is that Jesus was on a Mediterranean diet, but you can look that up if you missed it. Today's Bible verse reminds us all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I believe that most people get that the Bible is supposed to instruct us on how to live, what the Bible verse calls training in righteousness. We know Bible study is most valuable. However, most folks, even Jesus' followers, may not be as sure of what to do about rebuking and correcting. And I want to emphasize that a bit today. Before we get to the details on rebuking and correcting, let me remind you that the writer of this letter to Timothy and the Apostle Paul and all the apostles and all their churches, none of them had a Bible. You have a Bible. Several Bibles in your own language and in various forms, printed and digital. BibleGateway.com makes available to you and anyone with an internet connection more than 200 English versions of the Bible and the Bible in 70 languages. Which Bible version should you read? There's a simple answer to that question. Which Bible version should you read? It's simple. Read the Bible version that you will read. Don't make yourself read a Greek Bible if you don't speak Greek. And why make yourself read the King James Version if you don't speak King James English? If you think that the King James Version of the Bible is the cat's pajamas, Does that mean everyone has to start their Bible reading by reading the King James Version? Might it be okay to work up to the King James Version? Is it okay if children read a children's Bible and grow into the authorized Bibles? And if you're just getting started reading the Bible, read a version that is easier for you to read. Easier to read. Because I don't think anyone has said that the Bible is easy reading. Why? Because the Bible's not about one thing, and some of it is thousands of years old, and it wasn't even originally written in your language. We talked about a book entitled Christianity for Dummies. Since there are hundreds of these for dummies books, the answer is yes, there's a Bible for Dummies book. And if that book had existed back in the day, I would have read it. And the Bible for Dummies book says, as a part of its introduction, 90% of Americans own a copy of the Bible. And while it's the most widely read book, it's also the least understood. The Bible for Dummies book claims the Bible for Dummies has all the information you need to navigate this ancient and fascinating book. Read the Bible because it's good for you, just like breakfast. And like breakfast, even if you can't remember what you ate for breakfast, breakfast is still good for you, right? Reading the Bible is good for you, even if you can't remember the chapter and verse you left off or simply find memorization tough to do. The Bible is good for correction and reproof. And as I said, none of the followers of Jesus had a Bible. What they did have were people who had walked and talked with Jesus. Some of them came out of the synagogue and did know the Bible, the Old Testament. So what did the churches of the apostles have? They had the teaching. In the letters of the New Testament, the teaching is mentioned about 30 times. We read of it first and hear of it first in chapter 2 of the book of Acts. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The apostles' teaching. At that time, the apostles' teaching came directly from the apostles' mouths. But soon after, as the apostles went on mission to the whole world, the apostles' teaching came out of a teacher's mouth. Those teachers who had walked with the apostles or had had hands laid on them and confirmed by the apostles as teachers for the church. And soon after that, there arose false teachings and false teachers. False teaching and false teachers are mentioned in the Bible itself. 5 times the Bible mentions those who speak evil. 9 times we read of those who are blasphemers. There are those who speak deceptive words, 2 Peter 2:3. The Apostle Paul himself will have to deal in the Corinthian church with false apostles, deceitful workers, and those masquerading as apostles of Christ, 2 Corinthians 11. The Bible mentions false doctrine. John mentions a spirit of falsehood, while another apostle mentions a deceiving spirit and even teachings that come from demons. Well, you do want to stay away from demon teachers. Take it from me. The Bible speaks of false knowledge and demonic teaching. Some have argued that the false apostles and false teachers actually provided some of the motivation to write down the teachings of the apostles in the first place that gave us the Bible. If there's any truth to that, then we have a prescription for those troubles of false knowledge and demonic teaching. We have in our hands our own Bible in our very own language. And that means that the Bible often will serve as its own corrective. The followers of Jesus can get off the right path, but if we keep reading the Bible, we should be led back to the right path. I read a really silly argument from a pastor about a current event, and he even put his silly idea in writing so we could all read how silly it was. Pastor, in making a case for racism, yes, this pastor argued in favor of racism, actually stated that God created the races as they are and we should not mix them. And yes, he stated that this year. Wait a minute. I thought there were originally only two people. So I'm missing the part about God created the races as they are. Then the pastor added to his ignorance that we shouldn't mix the races. I thought the book of Genesis taught us that God separated people according to language at the Tower of Babel. It was language, not race, that separated people, and God did cause that. Then God and the Holy Spirit reversed it in the book of Acts, chapter 2, at Pentecost, where everyone heard in their own language as the apostles spoke through the Holy Spirit. It seemed to me that that pastor was proof enough to keep reading your Bible. Don't read the Bible once and think, I got this, I understand. Really, I should pray for that pastor and his congregation. But everyone would be better off if that pastor would just keep reading his Bible. And I hope you have noticed recently that most of my bad examples of Bible reading or not Bible reading are all pastors or Christian leaders. I have higher standards for them, and they often disappoint me, and they often disappoint their flocks. Today's Bible verse reminds us all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Most people get the Bible's supposed to instruct us on how to live. However, most folks, even Jesus' followers, may not be as sure of what to do about rebuking and correcting, and I want to get to that now. Of these three words, training, rebuking, and correcting, the two words, rebuking and correcting, are two different words, and different words than the word training. And then your pastor was in for a big surprise. 2 Timothy 3:16, with the words rebuking and correcting, this verse is the only verse in the entire Bible that contains these two words. Scripture is profitable for instruction. Yes, of course. And instruction in many areas. What we believe about God, what we believe about God's Son, our Savior, Jesus, our relationships to God and Jesus. And there is more than that that the Scripture instructs us. Then the apostle states that God's word is good for rebuking. Or some versions say God's word is good for reproof. The Bible uses the word rebuke several times. Jesus rebukes the disciples rebuke, and Jesus rebukes demons. But all those words are not this word, rebuke, in the Greek. So the apostle means something else, rather than to find fault or to command. I like the words provide refutation, or to discredit, or to dissuade, or to disabuse. You persuade someone who may not have a particular stand on something, but you dissuade someone from the wrong ideas that they may have. And this is where I would put the apostle's emphasis. You see, the Bible will correct itself, not because the Bible is wrong, but because not every book of the Bible can provide all the teachings of the Bible. It takes the whole Bible. For example, those who hold to a success gospel, that God will bless the faithful as long as, or as soon as, they are faithful. And that blessing is usually understood in material terms, physical terms. But what about the prophet Jeremiah, who was not going to be successful, even as Jeremiah was faithful? What about Job? And what about the book of Jonah? Job loses everything when he hadn't done anything wrong. And Jonah is obedient, but doesn't get what he wants. And Jonah thought he wanted what God wanted until God told Jonah differently. That God intended to save the people of Nineveh and make Jonah do it. Let's ask a basic question to prosperity gospel people. Are faithful people healthy? The Pharisees suggested that. Even Jesus' disciples asked the question. And many faithful people have thought so since that time. But Job was made sick, with God's permission. And Jesus said in one case, sin had nothing to do with the illness, with the condition. Jesus' followers, read the entire Bible. I believe that the Bible contains within its many books a balance to one-sided views. I have other examples, but let's take a look at the Bible providing correction. Again, the word correction is in the Old Testament, but no other use of the word is in the New Testament, but right here in 2 Timothy. So I guess we could claim that not only is the Bible the only book that is God-breathed, but is the only book that can provide, within its own pages, provide refutation, dissuasion, and correction. This unique word, correction, carries with it a sense of restoration, restoring a person, restoring a believer to the true faith, restoring a person to the apostles' teaching, restoring a person to the church of Jesus Christ. Perhaps someone has tripped or fallen in following Jesus. God's word is capable of restoring this person on the way that Jesus said was narrow. One could easily claim that the book of Revelation, in its opening chapters, is working to restore the churches that the letters are addressed to. In one case, the church is in Ephesus. It isn't that the church is so wrong in its life, but the church left off what was so right about its early life. The church had left off the work of love. Or the churches in Smyrna, they're being told to be fully prepared so that they do not leave the path of following Jesus. And they are told, do not be afraid of what is coming. How many faithful need to hear that today? Or we could talk about Jerry Falwell Jr. At this point, it doesn't much matter what Jerry Falwell Jr. did or didn't do. But with regard to Mr. Falwell's behavior, I point to God's word. 3 John says, it gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. The problem for Mr. Falwell is that we do not see him walking in the truth. Or how about these three phrases from three different books of the Bible? Colossians 4, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Mr. Falwell. So that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Timothy, we must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. See how the Bible provides guidance for those who are chosen to lead. Of leaders, the Bible states their behavior is to be above reproach. Above reproach. Blameless. 1 Timothy, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's Philippians chapter 1. So whatever else you and I do, as we attempt to follow our Lord Jesus, we can ask ourselves Bible questions. Are we walking in the truth? Are we being wise in the way we act toward outsiders? Are we winning the respect of outsiders by our behavior? Are we doing our Bible reading? Are we letting the Bible reprove and correct us? Are we making sure to eat breakfast and to eat more than breakfast? All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Amen.